If you will look at the top of the back page of your bulletin, you will see a reading of United Methodist doctrine. Nothing is more offensive in our day than the doctrine of original sin. But if we do not get the diagnosis right, we don't appreciate what God has done in Christ. And I'm thankful for a church that is clear. This statement has two "we believe" statements. It invokes the Trinity. It quotes Jesus. And it ends with a good word. This is what our church believes about universal sin and the gift of free will. We Methodists believe human beings are fallen from righteousness and, apart from the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, are destitute of holiness and inclined to evil. That is not a formula for a self-help book or three ways to get better. It will not put you on afternoon television. And that's why it's followed by a quote from Jesus. "Except a man or woman be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God." And then a warning. "In their own strength, without divine grace, human beings cannot do good works pleasing and acceptable to God." And someone says to me, "I don't need Christ. I just hope at the end my good works are better than my evil deeds." I tell them, "You simply do not understand." But look at the hopeful note at end zone. "We believe, however, that man and woman, influenced and empowered by the Holy Spirit, are responsible in freedom to exercise their will for good." If you will take out your scripture sheet, there is not a more difficult or countercultural text in the whole of the New Testament. If you look at all the words in red at the beginning and end, you will see this as a paragraph. And in this passage, Paul says that we exchanged truth for a lie and God gave us up. "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all impiety and wickedness of men and women who by their wickedness suppress the truth, since what can be known about God is plain to them, for God has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and deity, have been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Although they knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks to Him, but were made futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they were made fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to uncleanness, to the dishonoring of the bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural. And the men likewise gave up natural relationships with women, were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, receiving in their own person the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a worthless mind and to improper conduct. They were filled with all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, not only do they do them, but approve those who practice them." This is the word of the Lord. For several years, I've been praying a prayer that I have not told any of you. You see, I very well understand that this is not my pulpit. I am a visitor here for a number of years, and that I am not the only one with a word from the Lord. Now, I'll just tell you, I have a 16-page manuscript here with 30 or so notes. About 25 hours has been invested in this very difficult message, but I'm not going to preach it today. We've already heard the word of the Lord through the Godspell choir, and we've heard it through a wonderful storyteller, Bill Clauber, and from Myra Green, and from Glenn Williams, and from the choir. Now, what I have to say is important, but it's not that important. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your scripture sheet home and reflect on what Paul said about the multiple effects of idolatry on the way we understand our bodies and on what it does to our culture. You may even pick up a copy of the manuscript and read it during the week to see if I have been faithful to the Scripture. And then come back next week as a reminder that I'm not the only one that has a word from the Lord, and that God has answered my prayer this morning by lining up such a wonderful lineup of witnesses that I don't know that I can preach this message today. And so I yield it to you and to this church with nothing but joy. It probably needs to be in the cooker for another week anyway. So read the scripture sheet. Read the full manuscript ahead of time, which is not my normal practice. And come back next week with your own thoughts about the devastating effects of idolatry on the whole human project. But I do want to give you just a minute, maybe to pray the prayer that I've written as a response. I offer myself in worship and just as I am to you, Lord Jesus. Expose every idol, that I may repent and with your aid tear it down, that you may have the whole of me forever. So take a minute with that prayer, and then we'll sing our hymn. One day this week, I went up in the balcony to pray, and Sammy the squirrel and I had a consultation. And Sammy said that he loves to fly around, and that I should pick a hymn about the great outdoors. Hymn number 92, "For the Beauty of the Earth, Please Stand."